Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, our 830th day together in the Word of God. We come back to the book of Job again, Job 32. Yesterday, Job finished his case. Now Elihu is going to speak. He's not one of Job's three friends named initially. He's someone who apparently came along later, and now he's going to speak. He's actually going to be the final speaker before God speaks. So we have several chapters of Elihu speaking. Let's pray and ask the Lord's help as we look to his word today. Heavenly Father, we look to you because you are good, strong, wise, and merciful. You do not treat us as our sins deserve, but you treat us with loving kindness. And we love you and thank you for it. We pray that you be with us and write your word on our hearts and help us to draw close to you by faith. Help us to see Jesus. Help us to walk in humility. Help us to trust you and follow after you by your spirit working in us through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Job 32. So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the family of Ram, burned with anger. He burned with anger at Job because he justified himself rather than God. He burned with anger at Job's three friends because they had no answer. They had found no answer, although they declared Job to be in the wrong. Now Elihu waited to speak to Job because they were older than he. And when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, he burned with anger. And Elihu, the son of Barachel the Buzite, answered and said, "I am young in years, and you are aged. Therefore I was timid and afraid to declare my opinion to you. I said, 'Let days speak, and many years teach wisdom.' But it is the spirit in man, the breath of the Almighty, that makes him understand. It is not the old who are wise, nor the aged who understand what is right. Therefore, I say, listen to me. Let me also declare my opinion. Behold, I waited for your words. I listened for your wise sayings. While you searched out what to say, I gave you my attention. And behold, there was none among you who refuted Job or who answered any of his words. Beware, lest you say, 'We have found wisdom.' God may vanquish him, not a man. He has not directed his words against me, and I will not answer him with your speeches. They are dismayed. They answer no more. They have not a word to say. And shall I wait because they do not speak? Because they stand there and answer no more? I also will answer with my share. I also will declare my opinion, for I am full of words. The spirit within me constrains me. Behold, my belly is like wine that has no vent, like new wineskins ready to burst. I must speak that I may find relief. I must open my lips and answer. I will not show partiality to any man or use flattery toward any person, for I do not know how to flatter, else my maker would soon take me away." Elihu is a very difficult person to properly assess. He's not one of Job's three friends. He's not saying the same things that Job's three friends said. We'll get into him in the coming days in terms of the details of what he says. But commentators and Bible scholars disagree. Everybody agrees basically on what's going on with Job's three friends. They are somewhat arrogant and haughty. They have this simplistic understanding that bad people get bad things happen to them as punishment from God. Good people get good things happen to them as reward from God. And that they misunderstand Job because he doesn't really fit into those categories. Elihu has a more complex answer, but it may not be any better. And so that is somewhat debatable. Some people say Elihu starts to hint closer to the truth, and then God speaks to make the truth even more plain and clear. But I think there's a lot in Elihu that we'll see that is pretty far off the mark anyway. So Elihu's angry. Why is he angry? He's angry at Job because Job is justifying himself rather than God. As the narrator says here, Job was righteous in his own eyes. And so Job is more concerned about defending his own honor and vindicating his own name than he is with honoring God as righteous and just. Although he admits that God is sovereign, he admits that God is holy, he admits that God can do whatever he wants to do, he's not really concerned of defending the character of God from any accusation of being unfair. Far from it, he thinks it is unfair what's happened to him. So that makes Elihu mad at Job. But then he's mad at Job's friends because they're old, they're wise by reputation, they have a lot of experience, and so they ought to have an answer to Job. But they don't have an answer to Job because they can't really find anything that they can accuse Job of doing wrong that would stick. They can't find a sin to hang around Job's neck of being cruel to the poor or of being sexually immoral or of being secretly blasphemous or whatever. None of that is going to stick on Job. And so Elihu's frustrated, said, well, you just keep trying to pin sin on this guy, and he's refuted it. He's refuted it very eloquently. So what's he going to do? He solves there's no. He sees that there's no answer in the mouth of these three men, so he burns with anger, and he says, I'm young, you're aged. I was timid and afraid. I said, let days speak, let many years teach wisdom. Definitely the culture in the ancient Near East, as in most of human history, has been to allow elders to speak first, allow them the right of presenting their case first because they deserve respect because they have more life experience and more years. But he says something here that is actually true, and that is, it is the breath of the Almighty. That is the Holy Spirit. It is the breath of the Almighty, verse 8, that makes man understand. It's not the old who are wise, nor the aged who understand what is right. There are lots of people who are very old and have been around for a long time and have a lot of life experience and haven't learned much from it. There are old fools as well as young fools, and there are people who are wise, we would say wise beyond their years, because they know the Lord and they have the Holy Spirit working in them. The Lord Jesus, when he was 12 years old, was in the temple answering questions and questioning the religious leaders of the day, and they were in awe at his answers, even though he was 12. When he entered into his earthly ministry, Jesus was about 30 years old. I used to think that was old, but now I'm 50, and that's 20 years younger than I am, and so that's not really that old. He was a young man, and so he was of age to be able to be ordained. He was of age to be able to enter into office at 30. However, he's not an older man. He's not a gray-haired man, and yet he was the wisest man who ever lived. Solomon, as king, when he took over from David, he took over at a relatively young age. He reigned for a long period of time, and he had wisdom from the beginning, from his prayer to God. He had great wisdom beyond his years. So it's God who gives wisdom, and this is true. So it's not academic credentials. It's not life experience. It's not age. It's not wealth. It is none of that. None of these things that you can accumulate from the world are what actually give you wisdom. It's the Holy Spirit who speaks through the Word of God, who gives us wisdom. And it is that which Elihu gets right. Now we'll have to wait and see if he can actually speak with any God-given wisdom. And my assessment of Elihu tends to be largely negative, but not necessarily as negative as some of Job's or as Job's three other friends. So he feels this burning need to speak. He says he's full of words. The spirit within him constrains him. His belly is like wine that has no vent, like new wines ready to burst. This reminds me of like the prophet Jeremiah that says, you know, if I say I'm not going to speak, your word is like a fire shut up in my bones and I have to speak. Or the apostle Paul when he says, woe to me if I preach not the gospel, if I don't declare Christ, I can't not speak, right? And those of us who are called to ministry have that burden to say, I have to speak what God has put in my heart. I have to speak what I've learned from the Word of God. And so we see that burden here. So we see some good things from Elihu here so far. He's admitting that it's not just age that gives you wisdom. It comes from God. And he's saying that he was going to patiently wait for the older people to talk and give them the respect due to them for their age. But then he's going to speak and he has something on his heart that he wants to say. And the last good thing that we see from Elihu is he's not going to show partiality or flattery. He doesn't know how to flatter, else my maker would soon take me away. Lots of people engage in persuasive speech that is little more than puffed up flattery. Because if you want someone to like you and you want someone to listen to you and you want someone to take you seriously, flattering them is a very quick way to get there. Oh, how handsome you are. Oh, I know you have a lot of life experience. Oh, I know you understand a lot of things. He's not going to do all that. He said, I'm going to tell it as I see it. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean as he sees it is going to be right. But at least so far, we see some good things. So what can we learn from this? Well, what we can learn from this is from some of what Elihu says. We need to take it to heart. Don't just respect someone because they're old. Listen to see if what they're saying matches the word of God. And then, if God has taught you from his word what is true, and his spirit has given you a burden to speak it, make sure you speak it. And when you speak, don't be rude or insulting, but don't engage in flattery to be a people pleaser or a man fearer, because God will judge that. And if God puts his word in your heart, you speak his word to honor his name and not to advance your own cause by flattering other people. Most of the time in our day and age, what we see in what passes for discourse is a lot of insults and a lot of negative talk. And so maybe Elihu is guilty of a little bit of that. So we can be warned against that. But you don't want to go into flattery. You also don't want to go into insulting, because people are made in God's image. Speak the truth in love. Bear witness with integrity, faithful to God and God's character, which includes treating other people the way you would want to be treated. That's not flattery. That's golden rule love. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus, who is the perfect Word of God made flesh, who communicated perfectly. He was not partial to anyone. He did not show flattery. He did not simply defer to people who were older than he was from a human perspective, but he spoke the truth as he is the truth. But he did so in love. He did so to confront those who were puffed up because they needed to be humbled. He did so to build up those who were cast down because they needed to be encouraged. He did those to reach out to those who were outcast because they needed to be loved. He did those to correct those who were going astray because he wanted them to repent. Help us to have that same approach and that same attitude, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, that is Job 32. Tomorrow, we're going to try to accomplish something rather bold, and that is we have on tap for tomorrow John 3 and 4. So two chapters in the Gospel of John tomorrow. Pray for me that I can do that clearly and concisely and faithfully. Have a blessed day in the Lord.